Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 27 verse 24. Gospel of Matthew chapter 27 verse 24.
The Gospel of Matthew chapter 27 verse 24 reads this way. It says, "When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, 'I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it.' Then answered all the people and said, 'His blood be on us and on our children.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your church. And then, Lord, being reminded that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, once again, we thank you for your presence. We ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to fill us and to guide us, that we might hear from you and that we might truly worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up and our lives drawn closer to you, and that you might make us the witnesses by your power and strength that would honor and glorify you. Again, bless each and every one here tonight and those who are unable to be here this evening. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is "His Blood Be on Us and on Our Children." That's a horrible statement, really, to make. They did not realize. I think they were quite ignorant, but they were lost, no doubt, without the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the crazy thing: they were the people of God. They were the ones whom these promises were given to, and yet they rejected this. They rejected the Lord, and this really reveals the depravity that God's people can fall into. I mean, the promises were for them and then to the whole world, and they said, "No, we don't want it. His blood, in fact, be on us and on our children." So what is it actually that brings people to this point in their relationship with the Lord? And it, really, we find some crazy things here that God was doing even in the midst of this rejection of his will. And we find really that he prepared a way out from this depravity. We're going to see this prepared way, and yet they forsook it. We're going to see a depraved will of the people of God. And then we're going to take notice, the last thought will be the Lord's faithfulness in spite of their unbelief and depravity. So some interesting things here. Praise God that as believers, God has given us his grace. I don't believe there's any way that a child of God could really reject the Lord once they've received them. I think we'll always love the Lord. We can get to some low places, but I really do believe that there's the Lord in us, the Spirit of God that helps us to realize. I hope and pray. Really, I don't understand this, but I'm convinced through all the short life that I've lived here. I mean, it's not that short, but anyway, God has always been faithful to me. And I have always loved the Lord. I've failed the Lord, sure, but I still love the Lord. I think Peter, when he failed the Lord, when he denied the Lord, he still loved the Lord, or he wouldn't have wept bitterly. And so there was a love there. Obviously, these people don't have a love for God. So this really reveals that you can have a form of godliness and there's no God involved. There's a lot of people say, you know, "I'm a Christian." That's something easy to say. But if there's no life there, if the life of God is not there, something is drastically missing. And I'm concerned because the Bible says, Jesus said, many people are going to say to me in that day, "But Lord, Lord, look what we've done for you." And he says, "I will profess unto them in that day, I never knew you." And so we don't want that for anybody. But let's consider some things this evening, and let's look at this prepared way out from this depravity. God was doing some things. In the midst of all of this, God was not willing that any should perish. So look at verse 15. "Now at that feast, the governor was wont to," that means he had an idea, he had a desire, he was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. Now these people have been, fathom this thought, these people have been condemned to death. And so The governor all of a sudden says, "You know what I'm going to do for you guys on this day? I'm going to release to you somebody who's been condemned to death." Now, governors, we call that a clemency, don't we? It's mercy that a governor can give to somebody on death row. Can't they do that? Right? They can say, "Listen, you've been pardoned. You can receive this pardon and be set free from the death penalty of death." And so here's the Lord even moving in the hearts of even the lost world, particularly Pilate, this was his happening. And I believe this was taking place to take place at the time of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ to give the people of God a way out. So he says, and verse 16, it says, and they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Now, this is the one that made insurrection. In fact, the book of Mark chapter 15, verse 7 tells us he was part of those who were involved in the insurrection and committed murder in the insurrection. So this guy is guilty here, and he rightly deserves to be crucified or given the death sentence. But he says, verse 17, therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? Now, I think Pilate knew that Jesus Christ was innocent, don't you? I think he knew he was innocent, but he was given to the people, wasn't he? He wanted the approval from the people. And listen, if we're going to stand for the truth, this is an important truth. You can't please the people, because the world hates the Lord. And if the world hates the Lord, we know, the Lord told us, they will hate us also. And so we cannot be accepted by the world and go by what they say, and unless it's in conjunction or agreement with the Word of God. So again, he says, whom will you that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ or the Messiah? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. So he says, he's probably thinking, you know, they're going to probably come to themselves somewhere. They're going to probably, you know, when you do something out of envy, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes you can say, you know, that's not right. I shouldn't do that. And so we have an opportunity to turn at that particular point. Maybe that's what he was hoping from the Jews here. Verse 19, when he was set down on the judgment seat, listen to this. His wife, Pilate's wife, sent a servant with a note saying, what? Have thou nothing to do with that just man? You think there was any doubt in Pilate's mind who she was talking about? Because it was Jesus Christ. He knew, and Pilate's wife knew, and she said to him, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day. You know, the Lord came to Pilate in the morning. I don't know how much time had elapsed between when he was brought there and this particular time right here, but you don't normally sleep in the daytime. I don't know what her condition was. So here all of a sudden, she's taking this nap, and God gives her a message to give to Pilate. And so she says, have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. So imagine this, all of a sudden, Pilate's in the midst of conducting this business here, and he's interrupted by a servant bringing a note. And so, let me see what this is. I mean, usually when notes are given in the midst of a proceeding, it has to be pretty important. And so this came from Pilate, and so he stops everything that's taking place. He reads the note. He read the note. He had to contemplate what to do at that particular point. So his wife gave him some counsel. His conscience was giving him some counsel. His reality of knowing the purpose of why the Jews gave the Lord up was because of envy. He knew these things, and yet he still stayed the wrong course. He did not veer his course. And so here he is in his predicament here, and a way was made for him, but he doesn't receive that. So here's this prepared way out from this depravity. He didn't have to join in on this depravity, but he made his mind to do that. Isn't that amazing? He could have gone out of that, and yet the Lord knew all of these things, and yet still followed through. Listen, the Lord knew what he was getting ready to face for our redemption, and he followed through with it, because without it, you and I would not be saved. And it was the love of God that allowed him to continue to go forward and to make this payment for in our behalf for our sins. All right, so notice the depraved will of the people, or this unwillingness really to receive the truth that God was giving to them. And Pilate had an unwillingness to stand for the truth. He knew what the truth was. They both knew what the truth was. And they just said, no. You know what they said? I'm more important than God's will. I'm more important than the truth. I'm going to, listen, because I'm in a position to do it, the high priest, they manipulated the people to say, no, let Barabbas go free and crucify the Lord. And so they are held accountable for these things. And if you know the history about Pilate, he pretty much died a pauper and in obscurity. He shortly after this, he lost his governorship, and history tells us that he kind of died in obscurity. So he paid a price on this life also, in this life. So notice verse 20. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Boy, they are just bent headlong, and they don't care what the truth is. The mentality is this, ready? Don't confuse me with the facts. I've already made up my mind. Isn't that crazy? I don't want to hear the facts. I'm just going to do what I want to do. That's really crazy, and yet that's what they're doing here. The governor answered verse 21 and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said Barabbas. Now listen, they wanted Jesus. He thinks if they will be persuaded, then I will do the right thing. That's not the way it works. I will do the right thing regardless of whoever is persuaded. I will do what God says is right, regardless whether the world follows or not. Who will you and I and the whole world ultimately stand before for eternity? We will stand before the Lord. So it's better to honor God than the world that is perishing. Do you know, listen, it's an amazing thing. There are people today that are so... just so self-centered. They just say there's no God. They want to believe that, and yet the Bible is teaching us that there is a God, and the Bible is telling us that in the end days, these people were going to be like this, and listen, they are fulfilling Scripture. So you know what that does for us? That just solidifies the word of God. Look, just like the Lord said, amen, that was going to be happening in our day and age. You're going to be more lovers of selves and pleasure more than lovers of God. And by the way, our nation was not like that when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s. I did not go to a Christian school. I went to John F. Kennedy Junior High School and North Miami Beach High School. But listen, I remember people would say, you give me your word, or they would say, you know, well, I swear to, you know, the Lord, saying this is the truth. Well, they did that because they had some kind of a reverence for God back then. And these were not godly people. These were not church-going people, but there was still a fear and a reverence for God, even in the secular realm. But Satan has seen to it, and the carnal flesh has just dwindled away from God and has just been encouraged and bent. And that, by the way, that's our nature anyway. Without the Lord, we go down. We don't go up. And so here the governor says, so who should I let go? Verse 22, Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then? Because they said, release Barabbas unto us. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Was there an option? Was there an option on that? Because remember, he said, I'm only going to let go one. So obviously the other one's condemned. And so why is he still asking? He doesn't want to crucify the Lord. He's dealing with his conscience, but his concern took precedent over his conscience, his concern for the people. So he says, what shall I do then, verse 22, with Jesus, which is called Christ? They say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? He's arguing with these people. Do you know he's the governor? He could just say, listen, this is just a matter of fact, this is the way it's going to be. He's the boss. He could have said, nope, I'm sorry. This year we're not doing it your way. I'm letting Jesus go, and Barabbas, who's the murderer, gets to be executed. But he didn't do that. So he's having this back and forth. Why? Verse 23, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. I'm afraid Pilate might be rubbing his hands in hell saying, I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him washing his hands. And it didn't work. It didn't work. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Wow. And you know what? It was. And that's why they're blind, really, to the truth. And the gospel has moved over to the Gentiles. Okay, skip over to verse 35. We're going to go right to this last point here, and that's the Lord's faithfulness in spite of their unbelief and depravity. These are things that are fulfilled in the Word of God, Psalm 22 primarily. But notice verse 35, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and among my vesture did they cast lots, and sitting down, they watched him there. And this is, you'll find this in Psalm 22, specifically verse 18. But as you go through Psalm 22, you'll see that you can't have the Lord as your shepherd in Psalm 23 before he's your Savior in Psalm 22. And that's where he paid the price in Psalm 22. And verse 37 says here, and they set up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and the elders. He saved others, himself he cannot save. This is also in the scriptures as well. And so here they're really fulfilling scripture and they don't even know it. If he be king of the Jews, king of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we will believe him. No, they wouldn't. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come and save him. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, listen to this, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. That's letting you know who did it. That was the Lord. It was about 6 inches thick. That's not something that you tear easily. And it was ripped from the top to the bottom, letting them know that no man was able to get up there. God did that. And so it was ripped in twain, in two, from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Notice he's going to qualify that here in just a moment. And it came out of the graves after his resurrection. So when all this happened, the graves were opened, but after the Lord rose up, so did some other people that were in the graves and came out of the graves after his resurrection, verse 53, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? His blood be on us and on our children. What a calamity, really. Atrocity and a reproach to the Lord. And yet the Lord knew all this was going to happen. And he still did it, didn't he? Why? Because he loved us. Did it for us here today. If he did not do that, we would have no hope. None. But because of his love for us, I don't understand it. Thank you, God. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the great price that you paid. And Lord, may we never think little of it. May we always be reminded what a great price. No more could be given, Lord, than you gave. You gave everything. And we thank you for that. Lord, may you give us a heart to seek after you and your righteousness, your will, and your way for our lives. May we be found faithful because you provided everything that is necessary in our salvation. to be found ready, waiting, and faithful to you, Lord, because you've indwelt us with the power of your Holy Spirit to guide us. May we not sell you short, Lord. May we make much of what you've given to us. Bless as we break off for prayer, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.